We'll be back so long as the virus stays out of the way in the next few weeks. Rosie, as always, a pleasure to have you on. How are things in Rosie's world this evening?
Doing okay, Bull. Great to be with you. Usually we have a bunch of shows in by this point in the season, but we're just kind of getting going here. But it's great to hear you and happy to be on your show. Thank you.
Well, a lot of excitement surrounding the start of this new season. And, Rosie, I guess we'll start right here in your mind. What do you think could be the biggest battle as we watch the next few weeks here in spring training 2.0 from a position perspective? Are there any particular battles that stand out to you?
Oh, man, you know what, Bull? I haven't even thought about it, to be honest with you, because, I think most of what the focus has been is, trying to get these teams back into some sort of training camps and then starting the season. And then along with that, and we had a chance to visit with Chris Antonetti this afternoon, the Indians president of baseball operations. I mean, their biggest concern, the biggest position battle, Bull, is, I think, individual players against COVID. You know, how for the guys who are coming in from different parts of the country, different countries from Latin America, will they test positive when they get here based on where they've been? And I think that's the biggest challenge initially. So to be honest, your infield set, there's going to be battles in the outfield and some bullpen spots. It's no different than it was when you were out in Goodyear with us, and, none of that has changed. But, the real battle is who's going to be healthy, and if there's too many that aren't, what do you do then? And not just the Indians, but throughout baseball.
Sure, and lots of questions that I'm sure we'll get answers to in the coming weeks. And one of the things we've discussed the last couple of days on the show are the expectations for starting pitchers. And the beauty of this right now is I don't really know that anybody knows. So we'll throw this your direction. What do you think the realistic expectations for starting pitchers would be as far as how deep you think they can go early on in the season, and how quickly do you think we might get that answer over the first couple of weeks of spring training 2.0?
It's going to be really interesting. I wish I could tell you, because I think some guys are going to come in ready to roll. And that's not to say that the guys who aren't didn't do what they needed to do, but I think some players were in position to get a more realistic workout or simulation of a game in than others were, based on maybe where they were living during the quarantine. You're not going to have as much time to build up. So, I mean, who knows how many exhibition games we'll even play. A lot of it will be inter-squad. So how does that simulate a game? If I know Terry Francona and Carl Willis, they will err on the side of caution. So if Shane Bieber has a no-hitter through four and he's at 60 pitches in his first outing and they determine that that's enough, we don't want to overdo it, they'll get him out of there. I don't know if that'll be the case. Maybe he's good to go for 80. But you don't want to, that first competitive outing, you don't want to overdo it and then regret that for the remainder of what is now a two-and-a-half-month season.
It'll certainly be interesting for the starting rotation just to see, I mean, like you said, Rosie, how far they're able to go when Tito decides enough is enough for certain guys. So I definitely have my eyes set on them. Another guy that I'm looking at, Franmil Reyes. I know, getting in better shape this offseason was a bit of a focus for him, and from what I could tell during that first go around with spring training, he was looking really good. And I'm curious if you think this COVID-19 outbreak and the delayed start to the season, do you think that really hurts what he had seemingly accomplished throughout the offseason, or do you think he comes back ready to go?
Boy, you'd hope he'd come back ready to go, because he did really, I mean, I'm gonna say the only person in better shape than Franmil in spring training might have been Bull when he showed up for that week. But outside of that, it was tremendous. He dropped a lot of weight and was still swinging the bat with ridiculous power and all that kind of good stuff. So it would be a shame if he went back home and didn't keep that. But it's a possibility. I think when he initially went back, he might have been doing workouts with Carlos Santana at a common site and that type of thing. So that's good. But we won't know until he gets here. We really won't. And the hope is that he was able to keep what he had in spring training because it was really good and it was exciting to see.
Well, I'm hoping he was getting a couple of workouts in with Carlos because, as we know from his Phillies days, he will not tolerate slacking off in any regard. So
no.
good news to hear.
That's
right there.
True. Yeah.
Well, I was in some kind of shape. I wouldn't call it in shape, so to speak, when I was down in Arizona. And plus, when it comes to the hair game, Fran Mills got me beat in many aspects. Number one, he's got a lot more than I do. And number two, he's got more colors than I do in his hair. That was one of the more popular pictures we posted on the WEOL Facebook page, the many colors of Franmil Reyes' hair in the early stages of spring training. So if he is as successful as he's been colorful so far with the Indians, I think that we are certainly in luck. And, you know, Rosie, this is going to be such an interesting group to follow. And I think you never really know what you have in terms of chemistry until you set foot inside the complex. And it seemed like that was never really an issue down in Arizona. And they're going to bring fewer bodies to Progressive Field. And I just feel like spring training 2.0 will be interesting. If for no other reason, Rosie, it's going to be so different. I mean, who would have thought that we'd get a three-week spring training in our own backyard with Classic Park being used as a taxi site as well? So this whole process is just going to be a lot of fun to follow.
And it is. And that's the good thing. I mean, I know we went through a baseball struggle there to get this thing going. And, you know, there's so much talk about fans are going to, you know, discard the game, and some might, and you can't blame them. It was really frustrating. But I think coming back, it will be kind of fun having a spring training here in Cleveland. Who would have thunk it, right? In July. But it'll be interesting to see how they work it. Just getting a little bit of insight from Chris today. It's going to be small groups of players in different workout stations. They will use Lake County eventually for some of the other stuff. They're probably only going to bring in about 40 guys to Major League Camp here at the outset instead of the full 60 that they'll have eventually, just because of the space issues. As you know, out in Arizona, they have 6-7 fields at their disposal to get their work in, and they use them all at different points in time. So they won't have that. But they have a lot of mounds, bullpen mounds, you know, stadium mounds underneath, and so there's areas where pitchers can get their work in. They'll figure it out, but it will be different. And I think that the teams that are able to adjust and make the most of the facilities that they have are going to be the ones that get off to the quick starts, and that's going to mean so much in this shortened season.
We're speaking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, about a month away from the beginning of what will be a very, very unique baseball season, to say the least. And, Rosie, you mentioned there a few minutes ago the Indians probably bringing in somewhere around 40 guys to spring training 2.0. We talked about the bullpen a little bit earlier, and that will be a really fun battle to follow. And I'm kind of curious as to what names kind of stand out to you as guys who are going to be in the mix battling for some of those spots. I think of a guy like Anthony Goes, who was a real fun name to watch during spring training. He's got an interesting story, if nothing else. Are there some other guys that you think could potentially be in the mix?
You know, I thought Cam Hill had a real good spring. You mentioned Anthony Goes, and guys like that, I think, were hurt by the shutdown big time because, they could have gotten some more work in and that type of thing. That Goes, I want to say Goes was sent over to minor league camp just as things were beginning to shut down, if I remember correctly. But he's certainly someone that's on the radar, but he needed to pitch, and he'll, you know, he's not going to get that chance in game situations here. Certainly that's a name that bears watching. Again, Cam Hill is a guy who really impressed a couple of springs ago. And there's some others in that mix, to be honest with you. And until these guys get here and you find out who's healthy and who's not, both from a COVID standpoint and just general health, it's really hard to get into. I mean, I apologize. It's hard to get into the roster right now because they're not here and they're not working out, and you're not sure who is going to be here. So until they get here and start working out and you see who's further along than others, I think that's when you can really start to take a look at potential surprises.
And because this season will be so different, there will be at least a little bit more in the way of variety with the scheduling. Sure, you'll see a lot of the same foes in the AL Central, but you'll also see a lot of NL Central teams, if not all NL Central teams. And that'll be different too, Rosie, just because you don't often see the Pirates and the Reds in the same year. You also get a nice little mix with the Cardinals, and you get the Cubs and the Brewers too. And I think that'll be kind of cool because it does give this schedule at least a little more variety.
Yeah, I mean, they've regionalized baseball, haven't they? The way they're setting it up. And it's kind of nice in that you'll get a little bit more than you normally do of the interleague play. I like the fact that it's a universal DH, so there's not that disadvantage of going to a National League park for an American League team. So, I think they're doing it well. I'll miss, you know, the games with Oakland and the Angels and the Yankees and Red Sox and all that, but hopefully it's just a one-year thing, and at least for these purposes, you keep the travel to a minimum, and you just keep it regional, and you know, maybe you'll see some of those teams in the postseason.
How much of an effect do you think this will have in a positive way for the players not having to go out to the West Coast during the regular season and having to get into that routine of playing games that start at 10 o'clock at night? Do you think that factors in any way or benefits the Tri much in this scenario?
Well, I would think so, but everybody's in the same boat that they're playing. It's not like you have an advantage over anybody else because nobody's going out there. But, you know, I just think from a general standpoint, the players, I don't think, will mind it one bit.
And I know that's going to make a big, big difference when it comes to traveling, too. I mean, not only not playing in a different time zone, but not having to travel 3 hours or 5 hours away, whatever the case might be, when you're going to play those teams in the West. So, yeah, that'll make a huge, huge difference for sure. All right, Rosie, before we wrap things up here, you know, we've had a lot of fun asking people what they've done during this quarantine. And, you know, we spoke a couple of days ago to a young lady named Lexi Alston from Amherst. She was the Lorain County Athletic Administrators Association Female Athlete of the Year. She said during the quarantine, she's essentially built her own home gym in her garage, and other people have gotten pretty creative with what they've done. So what does Jim Rosenhaus do during the quarantine to kill the time?
Well, I can tell you our grass has never looked better, front and back. The lawn has looked awesome. We've started a shared garden with our neighbors, and the tomatoes are just starting to come in, and so are the peppers. So that's been kind of fun to get that going. And, you know, just some general landscaping around the yard, a lot more than I normally would do in a baseball summer. But just a lot of stuff with the kids and close to home. Like, you know, sometimes you think, well, I'm going to do stuff with the family. We'll go to Cedar Point or, you know, this and that and the other. And obviously you can't do a lot of those things. So it's really just, you know, bike rides in the neighborhood and stuff like that. That's really been kind of nice. My older son does play travel baseball, and they have started up again, and so I've been able to see his games, which has been fun. So a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and it all adds up to what has been an okay summer. You know, as okay as it can be without baseball.
Well, hopefully we get lots of baseball back 1 month from now. We're talking about, at the time, I think, what will be about the third or fourth game in the Indian season. So hopefully there will be plenty of that to discuss, and hopefully the virus will stay out of the way. Rosie, we always appreciate the time, and we look forward to getting back into the routine with these weekly chats as we progress through July and get into the start of the season. Thank you, as always, for the time, my friend.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thanks, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.